some of you might have. Did anybody study Corrie Ten Boom in school, or even read her book, The Hiding Place? You know, when she was, Corrie Ten Boom was a woman, obviously, and she was lived during the Second World War when the Nazis took over. I think she was Dutch, wasn't she? And her family hid Jewish people in their homes, and they were arrested. They were put in the prison camp in Ravensbrück concentration camp. And the barracks that they were sleeping in, the rooms they were sleeping in, were just infested badly with fleas. And one morning they read their little tattered Bible. They managed to keep a Bible, and they were reading from 1 Thessalonians that were reminding them. Then it said, "Rejoice in all things." And if you were in Ravensbrück concentration camp and you were thinking, you know, you're being eaten alive by fleas and horror of a concentration camp, you've probably seen the photos. It'd be really hard to think, you know, "I'm going to rejoice." And Betsy, her sister, said, "Corrie, we've got to give thanks. We've got to give thanks for the barracks and even for the fleas." And Corrie said, "No way. I'm not going to give thanks for the fleas." And then she said, "You know, God's word says give thanks in all circumstances." So in the end, she gave in and she thanked God even for the fleas. And you read that and you said, wow, what sort of attitude there is that? They're believing to receive. Believing even in the midst of a real horrible, difficult situation, she was believing to receive. She had a winning attitude. She had a great attitude. Well, apparently, you know, as the story goes on, during the months that followed, they found that the guards never came to their barracks. They went to lots of the other barracks and hassled people and used to make life a misery, but they never ever came to, or they seldom came to Betsy and Corrie's barracks. And they thought, well, that's really funny. And they found that they could talk openly, they could pray and read their Bible, and it never happened in the other barracks. And so theirs was a place of refuge that people would come to. And several months later, they learned that the reasons the guard never came to the barracks was because it was infested with fleas. Given thanks in all circumstances, believing to receive, you know, and they were really blessed in that time, you know, an attitude, you know, having a good attitude, a great attitude, a positive attitude, and that's what God wants us to have. An attitude is the way a person views something, and someone said a very happy person is not a person with a certain set of circumstances, but a person with a certain attitude. How's your attitude? You got a great attitude, you know? It's true, isn't it? You want to be happy. The way to happiness is to deal with your attitude. How's your attitude tonight? Attitude's the way the person views something. How we behave towards something. Attitude determines your approach to life and the relationships you have with other people. It determines success or failure. It determines whether you're happy, miserable, make friends or enemies. Attitude, you know, determined by our... You can see a person's attitude in their body language. Wow, there's a happy guy. Yeah. How's your body language? What's it saying? You can see an attitude of a person in the way. You know, when you were watching Kathy worship leading, you know, you could see her attitude. It wasn't like, "And I believe you're going to do it again." It's a good attitude, you know. It was coming out. She's believing there. Man, you were just watching her. You're receiving something of a great attitude to God. And people see your attitude in your body language, you know. "Oh, yeah, I believe in God." Yeah. What are people seeing in your attitude? You know, you're in charge of your attitude. This probably for me, this is one of the big areas I struggle with, is having a positive, a right attitude, you know. Chuck Swindoll said, "I'm convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it." Wow. 90%. And so it is, you are in charge of your attitude. You know, you're in charge. We've got to work on that 90%, how I react to things, how we react to things. How are you reacting to things? My wife knows how I react to things. People in the office know, you know. And God's at work in me. Is he at work in you? And say, "Lord, change my attitude in some areas." And I think he's going to, just as we go through this and talk tonight, I think he's going to speak to you about some areas in your life. Hey, you need a little bit of an attitude tune-up. And one of the greatest, I think, one of the greatest people had an amazing attitude in my book was King David. And we looked at him a couple of weeks ago. King David was the guy that took Goliath on, and he had an amazing attitude that made him a winner. He was one of the greatest, most successful kings ever Israel had ever known. And 1 Samuel 18, verse 5, you might want to flick open your Bibles to that. David went out, and the Bible says that he was successful wherever Saul sent him. I like that. You know, wherever David went, he was successful. Wow, you think, wow, I'd love to be like David. You know, wherever you go. Imagine that, going to school and you're successful wherever you go. You know, wherever God sent you, you were successful. That would be just such a great life to have. And wherever he went, he was successful. And I think, you know, we all want to be like that. And we can say, well, what was the attitude that David had that made him successful? Well, after his giant killing episode, you know, he you would have thought, man, he would have become the king. But that wasn't the case. David went from giant killing to one of the deepest, longest, darkest valleys of his entire life. In some ways, this was a time of testing for him. And sometimes in our lives, we go through times where it's really difficult. And right in those times, God shapes your attitude. And maybe you're thinking, man, this is a bit of a struggle I'm going through now at school. Or I'm struggling with this issue at uni. Or I'm struggling with this here in a relationship issue. You know, why is it so hard? Maybe God's at work shaping your attitude. Shaping your attitude. You see, after David defeated Goliath, people made him their hero. You know, they made up songs with him. Women used to sing songs like this. Saul has struck down his thousands and David his tens of thousands. You know, yeah. I said in the first service and second service this morning that I can't sing very well. You know, but they sang these songs. You know, David his tens of thousands. Saul has struck down his thousands. And Saul got really wound up. He's the king of Israel. And here's this pipsqueak of a guy called David. And he gets really angry as these women are singing these great songs about him, you know. He's struck down tens of thousands of people. And you, Saul, have only done your thousands. And so he got really angry, verse 8 in 1 Samuel 18. And he tried to kill David. He tried to kill David six times. And one time he threw a spear at David and he managed to duck just in time, 1 Samuel 18:11. Has it, you know, has that ever happened to you? Maybe not had people throw spears at you. Or maybe you have. Has anybody had someone throw a spear at them? Whoa, just But they've attacked you in some sort of way. A Saul type person's come into your life for no real reason. They've said something that's hurt you. Put you down. Somebody that maybe every time you see them, they think, whoa, I feel threatened by that person, you know? Or maybe they're jealous of you or that somebody that's opposed to you in some way. You know, and people can snub us, stab us in the back, criticize us, treat us like a doormat. And most times we think, man, I don't deserve to be treated like this. What sort of attitude do you have when those sort of people are coming at you? How's your attitude? Do you keep believing and trusting God? It's often these times, you know, when we're going through those difficult times that our attitude is put to the test. And what is your attitude like? How do you react? Depends on your attitude. And David shone out. The Bible says, 1 Samuel 18, verse 30. Then the princes of the Philistines went out to war, and so it was everyone, wherever they went out, that David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, that his name became highly esteemed. He behaved himself more wisely than people. Some translations say that he was more successful. He exercised good judgment. He was so wise, so successful, he could make really good judgment calls on things and say, you know, how come? Well, we see in 1 Samuel 18, verse 14, David behaved more wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. David had success in all his undertakings, for the Lord is with him. He was successful, he acted wisely, he made good judgment. Why? Because he knew that God was with him. And I think of all things tonight, God wants you to know he's with you. Even those times when you think, man, it's like I'm having an attitude test, God wants to say, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you, that you wouldn't just know it, you wouldn't just sing songs. He can move the mountains, and I believe, but that you would know God is with you. Do you know he's with you? Maybe you're struggling on that whole area, you know? Why don't you just call out to him tonight? Lord, show me that you are with me. I need to know. He's with you. He wants to reassure you that tonight. The big question is, how will that knowledge that God's with me affect my attitude in a positive way? And I think we see this, and I want to look at it tonight. I'll touch on it a bit. Psalm 59. Flick open your Bibles. That's a great psalm. If you have some Bibles that'll have a little heading at the top of it, that this was a time that some people were out to kill David, and they had watch over his house. Saul sent men to watch his house and to kill him. And so the psalm came out of one of those six times that David's life was threatened by Saul. And 1 Samuel 19:11 says, Saul sent men to David's house to watch him and kill him in the morning. But Michal's wife, David's wife, warned him, if you don't run for your life tonight, tomorrow you'll be killed. You know, this is like one of those bad cop movies, you know. There's a guy sitting out in some beat up old car waiting, watching the house, watching his every move, watching the light switch out. When the light switches out, he's going to climb over the fence. The dog barks, woof, 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 you know, and he gets, he's going to kill him. This is like one of those bad movies, you know. And they're waiting, smash his door down, get him. And as this is unfolding, listen to David's heart response here in Psalm 59. And we see how he's looking at things, how he's responding to this horrifying situation, the attitude of his heart. Verse 1, David's praying, Lord, Lord, I need some help here. I know you're with me, but I need some help in this situation. He says, deliver me. Some Bible say, rescue me, save me from this situation. I think that's a great attitude to have, isn't it? You're going through it. You've got some Saul sort of person attacking you, doing some nasty things to you, saying some nasty things behind your back or even to your face. God, deliver me, rescue me, help me in this situation. And after describing the situation in verses 1 to 8, he declares his faith in God in verses 9 to 10, and he says this, oh my strength, I watch for you, O God, are my fortress, my God, in whom my steadfast love will meet me. God will look in triumph on my enemies. And then he starts talking about God delivering him down in verse 7, but 16 and 17. But I'll sing of your strength. I'll sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning and at church on Sunday evening when I go to night church. For you have been my fortress and a refuge in the day of distress. Oh, my strength, I'll sing praises of you at night church. For you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. There's a little addition to that. God said, don't add or take away from my verse. Father, forgive me. But, you know, these verses, these four verses, are the way to a successful attitude right in here, isn't it? And he begins by declaring his faith in God's strength. And I think if you really want to have a great attitude, an attitude that believes to receive, I think that we need to have a confident expectation of God's strength. That whatever situation, and maybe you're going through it now, people have been saying nasty things about me. God, give me the strength. I'm confident that you will give me the strength to get through this. And he's declaring, you're my strength, Lord. Lord, I'm just relying on you to give me the strength to get through. We need that sort of attitude, don't we? Those situations where you know you've got, maybe you've got the wrong attitude and you're thinking, man, I need the right one. Lord, give me the strength to have the right attitude in this difficult time. Or you need wisdom. Lord, give me the right thing in this tense, to say in this tense situation. Or me to be positive and encouraging instead of negative and down all the time. Lord, strengthen me. Or maybe you're really struggling with depression. Lord, give me the strength I need to stand up and to rise up above this. And he will. Strengthen me, Lord. Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Yeah. You'll be strong in the Lord and the strength of his power. Ephesians 6:10. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. You know, it's a successful attitude, confident, expectant. Watch out. And what? Secondly, he says in verse 9, I will watch for you. I'm going to keep watch for you. What's he saying? He's kind of picking up a verse. You know, David was a good shepherd. He was always watching his sheep. He's thinking of guards on a watchtower or guard at his post. And this is how it was for David. He was watching. He was looking to see God move in the situations that he was facing. Are you looking for that? Or are you just saying, God, give me the strength, but forgetting to watch? Somebody said there's no waiting on God for help, and there's no help from God without watchful expectation on our parts. If we fail to receive strength and defense from him, it's because we're not on the outlook for it. Are you looking for him? He's saying, Lord, help me to see you moving in this situation, you know, being expectant, watching God to move in the situation you're facing. I think that's a great attitude to have, expecting that God will help you and that you're watching for God to move in your circumstances. There's an old story. You probably heard it. I heard somebody reciting it the other day and I thought, man, that's my story. You stole it. What are they doing putting it on YouTube? And it's about a guy, a very religious guy. He may have been a pastor, super spiritual guy. One day, the city that he was living in, the town he was living in, flooded. And he had to climb up onto the roof of his house. And he was praying, God, perform a miracle and rescue me here. And anyway, this guy in a canoe paddles by and he says, hey, jump on my canoe and I'll take you to some dry land. And the guy said, no, man. I've got faith in God and he's going to grant me a miracle. Okay. And the guy paddled off down with the river. And later a guy in a boat comes along and he drives up and he says, hey, jump on my boat and I'll take you over to some dry land and you can get away safely. And he said, no, man, I'm believing in God for a miracle. And he turns down the offer. And then this helicopter a little bit later comes along, one of these Air Force helicopters, and they're hovering right above the roof of his house where he's sitting, you know, and the water's getting higher and higher, and they drop down a ladder and they yell out, go grab hold of the ladder and we'll pull you up to safety. And he said, no, I'm believing in God for a miracle. Well, anyway, he drowned, and he ended up going to heaven. And from this morning's service, this goes right against it, but then he ended up meeting Peter at the pearly gates, and Peter is talking to him, and he says to Peter, I thought God was going to save me. I feel, man, and he had a wrong attitude when he got there. I mean, really let down by God. And Peter says, you know, I don't know what you're complaining about. God sent you a canoe, a boat, and a helicopter to save you, you know? And you've probably heard that story before. And yeah, I've heard that story before. But to get the meaning of it, look and be watchful of God moving in your life. He is. And so I think so often we miss it. You know, the first service, Greg got up and he said, you know, why don't we just give praise for God, thanks God, and share some testimonies of what God's been doing during the week. And everyone sat there like this, you know. And good old Faye, she was the one that had to break the silence. And I thought, you know, we're missing. God's moving all the time. He's moving all the time. He's showing us things. He's doing us things. And sometimes we miss seeing the canoe, the boat, and the helicopter come along and him doing stuff. And we go, oh, man, God's not moving here. Declare. Then David goes on and he says that God is his fortress, verse 9 and verse 16. You know, declare your expectation in God's protection. Even though he's totally defensive, these guys were stalking out his house, he knew God would protect him. It's the same for you. When these Sauls are coming against your life, totally defensive, when things are threatening to destroy your confidence, or your reputation, rob you of peace, or whatever it is, you know, when you're feeling, oh man, I'm totally overwhelmed by this, you know, or you're feeling so negative, irritable, you know, discouraged, you can find that God will protect you. He's a fortress. He's your security from those things that are threatening your life. The Bible says God is a refuge and a strength, a very present help in time of trouble. You know, we're singing that. He can move the mountain. He's there to strengthen and protect and be a source of help in times of trouble. And then and he's starting to think about this, and he's there on Sunday night, and he thinks, wow, verse 17, he starts to praise God. You know, I think praise lifts and changes atmospheres, doesn't it? And he's starting, and he's lifting, and he's praising God, and he's just so thankful for the way, man, he started to see God at work in his situations, and knowing the power, and knowing the presence of God, and he's thinking, wow, this is amazing. You know, the Bible tells us to put on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. You know, when you're feeling, man, I'm just feeling dosed down about things, I've got the wrong attitude about this, start praising God. And maybe at the beginning of it, you think, I don't want to. Well, change you want to into I will. I'm going to give it a go, God. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to start praising you. I bet you your attitude will lift. Even when you don't want to, just keep on doing it until you feel it lift. He used praise to lift, to beat his attitude. You know, I think David suffered from depression from time to time, and the big psalm that he really talks about that is Psalm 42 and 43. They think that the two psalms were one psalm together. And he says a few times in that psalm, in verse 5, 11, and 43, verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil? Or some Bible say, disquieted within me. You know, you're struggling. Man, I feel so down. And what does he say? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation. You know, man, I'm feeling really down here. I'm feeling, oh man, it's really bad. These guys throwing spears at me. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him again. I'm going to keep praising him. That's an attitude there. Might be really struggle, might be really difficult, but I'm going to praise him. Praise changes atmosphere. And then finally, David says, God shows me steadfast love. You know, he doesn't doubt God's unfailing love. He doesn't doubt God's kindness, God's devotion to him. My God, in his steadfast love, will meet me. Verse 10. He was expecting to encounter him, to experience him's love. He was talking about relationship here. He was secure in his relationship with God. Are you? That's what God wants to do in your life. Make it secure, that you would know that you know he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. That's what he wants you to know tonight. Knowing you're loved by God. Our Lord God, it's you who made the heavens and the earth, your great power, and by your outstretched arm, nothing is too hard for you. Nothing's too hard for God. He'll never let you down. You know, someone said that for every possible predicament we face, there's a corresponding grace of God. For every problem, there's an answer. For every hurt, there's a cure. For every weakness, there's a strength. For every confusion, there's a guidance. God wants you to live in his love. He wants you to know his love. Know his answers to your problems. Strengthen you in your weaknesses. And trust him and live in it. That you'd walk out of this place knowing that on Monday God can move the mountains. That you'd just be as confident as you are when you sing that song. He will. Your attitude. Lord, perform an attitude change in me. And we're going to, Josh and the team's just going to come. And we're not going to sing a whole lot of songs. We're just going to sit in the presence. We're going to pick up on some of these points and just let God in this presence, just speak to us about our attitude. And just let me close with just a quick testimony. A few years ago, Jude and I went away. We got a couple of nights at some place down in Coromandel, and jumped in the car and we're going down the motorway. And it was like you know, it started to rain a little bit, and then suddenly we were driving along. No, it wasn't raining. No, and we're just talking to one another, you know, how's it going? And suddenly we went from a normal motorway, Tarsil, bang, we hit, it was like ice. And it had been hailing. It just this torrential downpour of hail. And it just covered the whole ground. You looked across the hills around about on the side of the motorway. They were all white. Everything was white. And we went into this and I thought, whoa. And I thought, I need to, you know, being a good driver, I need to slow down, pull into the left lane and just stop and let this pass. So I thought I'd do that. And as I pulled into the left lane, the car just went. And somebody said, well, you've got a Skyline. They're good for drifting. And they said, you need to go on a drifting course and learn how to drift. Well, I hadn't been on that course. I still haven't. And the car just went, whoa. And it was like, there's nothing here. It was just like being on glass. And the car's just going, whoa. And I thought, man, where are we going? And there was this bank, went down just like this. And there's nothing I could do. Put the brakes on, it made it worse. And I'm trying to steer out of this thing, and I couldn't do it. And we went down the bank, and I'm thinking, we're flipping. We're going to flip over because we'd been driving along the motorway at full speed. And we end up into a fence on Judy's side. The car's total, man. It's all bent up, and I'm thinking, oh, man. And afterwards, you know, I'm beating myself up. Thinking, oh, you can't handle a car in a freaking hailstorm. What's the matter with you? Not a very good driver. I'm all negative about things. You know, look at my car. It's all bad. And we had to ring Chavez and Shikra, and they came out and saved us. And I'm thinking, you know, why? I'm really struggling with my attitude. You know, it's really hard to go, oh, Lord, I just praise you that I had a car accident and that my car's kind of looking bent and all broken. And I was struggling, you know, I wanted to have a good attitude, but man, I had a real negative one. And I remember checking my attitude and I started looking to God and I said, Lord, I need some strength here because I'm just feeling really, really down about it. I feel like Psalm 42, you know, why you cast down, oh my soul. I was just really in the dumps. And I often let these sort of things get me down. Do you? And I said, Lord, give me the strength to overcome this attitude. And I tried praising God. Oh, man, what am I going to praise you for? A bent car? Hail on the road? An accident? And I started praising him. And it was hard at first. And once I got into it, I said, Lord, I thank you for keeping us safe. You know, we went down this bank, and I remember getting out of the car, and there was this big tree stump right just where we went past. And I thought, it was pretty amazing that we actually didn't hit that. And if we had hit that, I don't know what would have happened. And then I praised God for the carloads of people that stopped, got out, and ran down the bank to see how we were. They cared. And it wasn't just one, it was like car after car. We had to get out and stand at the top of the motorway because traffic was stopping, people were running down. There was some medical students came out and said, are you guys okay? We're med students. We've been told that if we see an accident, we need to come down and help people. People were coming down and say, if you got a cell phone, you can borrow my phone and ring up somebody. And people coming down and saying, do you want us to take you somewhere? And I'm going, and I'm just praising God. You were there with us. And as I began to look at things, I thought, Lord, you protected us that afternoon. You protected me and Judy. I thought the car, man, I thought that was going to roll. You're my fortress. And I began to see God was there with me. The whole episode reassured me, yeah, God loves me. And I thought, no, I want to have a positive attitude about these things. He's with us. You know, that's the sort of attitude he wants you to have. Not that I got it all right. But to start looking for him. And to see him in the things that you're going through. He's right there with you. He's saying, hey, I'm working in this situation. I'm with you. I never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I've said that. So why don't we just, as the team just plays quietly, why don't we just, in the present, you know, Jesus is here. Start to think about your attitudes. Maybe something that you're facing now. Lord, may I have a good attitude about it. May I presence there. Help me to declare my confidence in your strength. Lord, you're going to get me through this. Sit with God on there. Talk to him. Lord, you said you'd strengthen me. You'd give me power, that your strength is made perfect in my weakness. And I'm feeling so weak here. Lord, give me them. I just receive your power. Receive it. As Shika said, you know, maybe you want to stand up and take a step forward.